period. I say the same thing every time I come to one of these meetings. Doesn't anybody want to listen to me on the Port Authority? No more expansion. No more building. Period. That's all we have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gagin. And once again, our procedure calls for anyone who wishes to speak to fill out one of the cards. If you've come in late or otherwise don't have one, raise your hand. We'll see that you receive one. On the other hand, if you have any questions you would like to put forth and do not want to ask them yourselves, you ask for a card, you write the question. We have two such questions, and maybe more than two, but two people asking the questions, and Mr. Mooney, our Director of Aviation, will read the question and our answer.
We have a question from Gene Berg. First question is, what do the extensions do? What do they accomplish? The extensions are on are proposed for runway 9 and for 4 left. Starting with runway 9, there are several things that we believe that this will do. First of all, we stated when we were here before, it's covered in considerable detail in the master plan report, that the extension of this runway will permit the takeoff of aircraft to be at a higher elevation when passing over Point Shirley. Now, on the average, we believe that based upon not only computations but actual decibel readings with through experimentation, that it will reduce the decibels by approximately 3. Another thing that it will do, we believe it will add safety in the use of this runway. Now, we know that the longer a runway is, that basically that it's safer. Now, in certification and operation of any aircraft, they have requirements that the aircraft be able to perform and pass over an obstruction at a certain height under very difficult conditions. And if it can't do this, then if it's necessary, and we certainly don't like to have it occur, but it does occur on occasion where it's necessary to abort a takeoff, then there's more runway remaining for this to be accomplished. And it doesn't force the aircraft to take off and actually perform in a way that it's not capable of doing. So we feel that there's a definite safety advantage. We also recognize the fact that it will permit aircraft to take off on this runway, which are unable to take off on that runway today. These are very, very, very limited in number. This is not the intent, and we'd like to point out that we demonstrate this by the fact that we have two runways already existing which are longer than this runway once it is extended. In other words, it will still be shorter than two runways that already exist. So that if we needed the longer runway for an SST or for aircraft that might be imagined for the future, this is not a logical thing in our judgment, because we do have two, as I say, that are already longer. The extension of runway 4 left is primarily a safety matter for aircraft taking off from the 22 right end. Now, this is used when these runways are being used. 22 right is used primarily for takeoff. We do not need this runway extension again for the purpose of permitting the larger aircraft to operate, since the runway immediately parallel to it will be longer even after the extension of 4 left, so that it does not mean that there will be larger aircraft operating at Logan. It does mean that, again, for takeoff purposes, that it will be a safer runway. That's taking off from 22 right. On very rare occasions, under emergency conditions, there have been, and we expect that there will be takeoffs from the other end. That's the fore left end. In those cases, it will permit the aircraft again to be higher when passing over the residential area, which will occur only, as I say, on rare occasion. Now, the next question is this plan before the EPA. Will the present status of the plan with regard to the runway extensions and the short runway is this. We held a hearing on March 10th. We received comments on this, the material, together with the environmental impact statement or investigation that was made by the Port Authority was submitted to the Federal Aviation Administration. They in turn prepared a draft environmental impact statement, and this is now in the process of being circulated. Now, this will be distributed to all interested government agencies, and the Environmental Protection Agency will have a very significant input into this particular study before there's any final finding or decision by the Federal Aviation Administration. Now, the fourth question was, can you detail recent compromise in East Boston residences? I assume that they may be referring to this recent board member, and I think that either Tom Callahan or Mr. King could best outline that.
I would prefer to ask whoever asked the question because I do not know what that meant.
Gene Berg, could you tell us more specifically what you refer to with regard to this compromise that you mentioned? Well, I... Oh, yes, that's right.
If you want, would you like to come up and speak? Is that certainly will? That's all right. You can answer Neptune Road.
Well, I think Tom on Neptune Road.
Neptune Road, you want to do that?
In regard to Neptune Road. After the authority had conducted hearings in Winthrop, East Boston, and Revere concerning the policy of purchasing homes or not purchasing homes, the authority voted not to purchase any homes in any of the areas contiguous to the airport or anywhere else. Then a group of people on Neptune Road pointed out by letter to the authority that they had a special situation which wasn't typical of any other situation. The authority considered the problem and assigned me to negotiate with the ad hoc committee on Neptune Road. They discussed over the course of the past 6 or 8 months the hazard, the noise, the smell of gasoline and everything else, particularly the hazard, so that we had appraisals made of the homes in the Neptune Road neighborhood. The first appraisals didn't seem to make the people particularly happy, so they selected an appraiser. And this appraiser came in with higher appraisals on 3 homes, which were typical of the homes in the neighborhood. The authority then voted to accept the higher set of appraisals on which to appraise the other houses. There are 43 homes on the MBTA side of the airport comprising the basic part of the Neptune Road neighborhood. We have been asked to make appraisals on 28 of these homes. The appraisals run from $38,000 to $50,000. This was presented to the authority at the last meeting, and the authority voted to purchase these homes based on the appraisals. It also voted to provide for the tenants a flat sum of $1,000 for all moving and related expenses, plus either of two alternatives. One, that a person would be subsidized if the family had to pay a higher rent for a comparable home, and that subsidy would be paid over the course of 4 years up to a maximum of $4,000. The other alternative was that if a tenant wished to buy a home, then the authority would pay $2,000 on a required down payment of a conventional loan, or if it were higher, it would match dollar for dollar the additional amount of money up to a total payment by the authority of $4,000. So fundamentally, the authority is attempting to resolve the particular problem of Neptune Road in a way which I believe is generally agreed upon as the best and perhaps the only way of resolving that particular problem. There was a point made that there was a difference between the Neptune Road comment in the master plan and the comment that was made concerning any other areas where reuse of land might be affected. And there was a question on the point. The fact is that the Neptune Road refers to a program which we feel should be carried on, which is being carried on by vote of the authority, and the other refers to being responsive if there is a similar request from another area. It doesn't mean that another area would be considered in the same fashion as Neptune Road, and there might be many other considerations, but I believe that the points are that Neptune Road is a program which we believe should be and is being carried on. The other is a matter of discussion. Thank you.
Okay, all those questions are answered. Is that correct?
No, just on the one.
Fine, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Offshore oil. And I think that in failing to face that now, you leave us with a lot of wondering what's going to happen next. I also think, Father, that perhaps not everybody came, because in parts of Winthrop today it was unbearable. They were brave to come when they did. My question really was raised by you, Mr. King, that the man who can say yes is never at these meetings, a representative of the FAA and a representative of the EPA. And that no meeting between Winthrop and your organization should be here unless one of those men is here, because you are not the ones that should filter through our comments. He should be here to hear us.
Thank you for your suggestion. I will be sure to invite you to the meeting that we will arrange. No, I understand that. And I will also ask him, with your permission, to contact you directly so that you will not have to filter it through us and you may discuss it directly with them. That's, I think, I think that that's a reasonable request, and if you'll just indicate if there are enough here, I don't know how we will do that, but why don't you just put your name on a card indicating you would like to meet directly with the FAA, with us or without. We will certainly be here if that's your wish. Is that reasonable?
Oh.
Well, that's all right. They may come as well. We will definitely apprise the FAA of your wish. This is all being recorded, and maybe suggest to them that they hold a public meeting here where anyone and everyone can come. Is that agreeable? Right. Now, our next speaker is Mr. Jerome Falbo, chairman of the Winthrop Planning Board.
Father Celeste, Mr. Mooney, Mr. Callahan, and Mr. King. The Planning Board had spent a considerable time attempting to analyze all of the reports, and there's approximately four or five reports, which I have listed in my written report, and I won't bother to mention. Most of you people are aware of these reports. The difficulty was in attempting to weed through the voluminous, highly technical, and sometimes contradictory and repetitious material that was in the reports. But finally, the Planning Board came to the conclusion that we do not believe that there exists a justifiable need for the proposed extensions after considering the insignificant relief to air traffic delay, congestion, and air travel needs of the area with the accompanying increase in noise and decrease in the residential quality of Winthrop. Although we discussed and are opposed to each of the proposed projects, we have directed our review to the impact of the extending runway 9 on the community of Winthrop, obviously because of our position, Winthrop Planning Board. The board made every attempt to understand the various reports stated above and requested meetings with the MPA and the FAA. We question seriously the value of the brief discussions that we had, merely because they were brief and infrequent. We had one meeting with the community representative from the Massachusetts Port Authority, and also at a subsequent meeting with the Board of Selectmen and the Planning Board. We had a meeting with the same representative and a representative from the FAA. I believe a total of 3 hours were spent. But in viewing the studies, they would have us believe that the extension of runway 9 will do the following: 1, improve future noise and air quality levels; 2, promote safety; 3, reasonably meet air service demands forecast by 1980. We'd like to ask the MPA, what consideration has been given to maintain the residential quality of Winthrop, particularly Point Shirley? Throughout the draft master plan, the emphasis is to accommodate and make it more convenient for the air traveler of the future. And when I refer to reports now, I'm referring to the most specific, most recent report by the Mass Port Authority, which was of June 1973. The position that I just mentioned is clearly stated on page 219 of the recent report. I quote in part, "Without new facilities, the demand for air service will exceed by greater and greater margins the capacity of existing facilities to provide it with growing levels of congestion and delay." This statement, in addition, it appears, is also contradictory to a statement which appears further in the report, under section entitled "The Impact Analysis of Proposed Facility Developments," page 301. Again, I quote, "These developments," and they're referring to the two runway extensions, 4L and 9 only, "alone provide no capacity increase whatever." In viewing this, with as much objectivity as possible under the circumstances, the Planning Board also attempted to view these proposals from the position of a simple problem existing and what is the cure, as proposed by the Mass Port Authority studies. On page 290 of the same report, the table relating to the effect of the extensions in aircraft delays, when you look at it, comes to a conclusion that if the extensions are built, the delay factor in aircraft will be reduced only 11%. Now, what about the noise factor? The charts on page 295, 296, 297, and 298 indicate that if the extension of runway 9 is completed, the people who reside in the crucial noise impact area, of which Winthrop and Point Shirley is included, in fact, it's more commonly referred to the NEF 30 and NEF 40 contour levels, these people will eventually experience an 8% reduction in noise. These are the benefits that we allegedly will get. Again, this remedy is anything but significant relief. What about the safety factor which the report alleges the extension of runway 9 will provide? True, a lengthening runway 9 may provide for greater safety on takeoff. I'm assuming that. But the aircraft landing on Point Shirley will touch down at the same point. Where is the safety margin for Point Shirley? Our board, the Planning Board, cannot adequately stress the importance that there should be no further expansion on over-the-land runways. And greater emphasis must be placed on decreasing the amount of flights using over-the-land routes. The recent tragedy which occurred at runway 4R is a constant reminder that over-the-water landing policy must be considered as providing a greater operational safety margin than over-the-land approach. The Planning Board is of the option that extension of runway 9 will decrease the residential character of Point Shirley and further reduce our tax base. The town of Winthrop is the second most densely populated community, city or town, in Massachusetts. There is little room for further expansion in terms of new construction. Yet virtually all new construction in the past 10 years in Winthrop has been residential in nature. The Port Authority states on page 281 of the same report, and this is the report, the page in which they were talking about the communities that they interviewed and discussed. They stated there that we supplied them with a 14-year-old master plan of the town of Winthrop. The implication, obviously, was that the town of Winthrop authorities, I presume the Planning Board, is not quite up to date with their existing needs. This is somewhat erroneous. The 1959 master plan, which we turned over to the authority, states the primary use of land in Winthrop is residential. The statement is applicable today as it was in 1959. No change. The board has clearly stated this position to the MPA's representatives on many occasions. We further maintain that the economic stability of the town is also solely dependent on residential taxes. Further airport expansion and increase in the noise factor is totally incompatible with our present land use in Winthrop and could destroy Winthrop's economic viability. The Planning Board concludes that extension of runways will not provide substantial relief as alleged by the report, that the extension will probably affect the residents of Point Shirley in a manner in nature and gradually encourage them to sell their homes to the Port Authority. The Board believes that the extending runway 9 will in the near future create a similar sellout anxiety in the residents of Point Shirley as now exists on Neptune Road. The board further believes that the MPA would not be disappointed if it could establish a clear zone at Point Shirley. The board agrees with the statement contained, that is our board, the planning board, agrees with the statement contained in the Landrum and Brown report of December 1972. Page 8, I quote, "It has become increasingly evident that the needs which prompted the runway 15L and 33R project still exists, and that only with such improvements can future environmental impacts be minimized." Period. "For these compelling reasons, the runway extensions and STOL runway portion of that former project are being proposed as an interim step toward the objective. We strongly suspect that the real purpose to extend the runways is to commit the airport to an irrevocable and unretractable course of major expansion. Because of these reasons, we are opposed to the proposed projects."
Thank you, Mr. Falvo. Mr. John A. Battigliano, MAPNAC, please. John.
My name is John Battigliano. I live at 111 Court Road, and I'm the chairman of the Town of Winthrop's Noise, Air Pollution, and Aircraft Hazards Committee. First of all, I want to start off by thanking Father Celeste for taking the time to come here tonight. We have analyzed the Port Authority's latest draft master plan and have about half a dozen comments. One, we have analyzed your proposed extensions of runway 9 and 4 left and construction of a new stalled runway. We are emphatically opposed to all three projects because, contrary to claims of your staff, they mean more noise and pollution and less safety. Of primary importance to Winthrop is the proposed extension of runway 9 by nearly 2,000 feet. Your public statements would have us believe that this plan means less noise for Point Shirley. Yet, your own consultant report, submitted for the March 10th hearing in Boston, indicates a 26% increase in takeoffs and a 100% increase in landings by 1980. Despite claims by your staff that we have misread these figures, the Federal Aviation Administration has confirmed them in their own environmental impact statement for this runway extension, and it is the FAA that controls runway use, not the Port Authority. Your staff claims that there is no association between the proposed extension and the proposed increases in overflights, but it is difficult to imagine that you would make a runway longer to use it less. The key statement in your proposal is to increase operational flexibility. This can only mean more overflights, not less. If you are sincere about the primary purpose of this extension being noise abatement, then you should let the supposed beneficiaries of the plan have the final say. And we say no. The second point regarding the question of residential versus overwater approaches. The recent Delta crash is a tragic illustration of the needs to emphasize overwater approaches to Logan instead of over residential areas. Contrary to past statements of the Port Authority, we do not consider Point Shirley to be an overwater approach path. Point Shirley is a viable residential neighborhood that must not become another Neptune Road. On the issue of aircraft safety, please understand that everyone in this town is just as concerned as you are, perhaps more so. Every position that we have ever enunciated on Logan expansion is based on the fundamental precept of maximizing safety on the ground as well as in the air. After all, it is our lives and homes that are at stake. Number three, on page 253 of your master plan, you have deleted a number of projects, including the parallel 1533. We totally agree with these deletions, since we suggested that you do so over 2 years ago. At that time, you claimed that these projects were needed for increased safety and reduced noise. You were wrong then, and you are wrong now. Four, we strongly criticize the Massachusetts Port Authority for the lack of publicity given this very important hearing. There has been only one small paid advertisement by the Port Authority in the Winthrop Sun transcript, and that was a month ago on July the 25th. The only other advertisement we have seen concerned the cancellation of the John Hancock Hall meeting in Boston. We wish you were more concerned with meetings that are held rather than those that are not. Five, We disagree with your staff's conclusions regarding the effectiveness of noise barriers. We feel that certain areas of Winthrop, such as Court Road and others, could benefit from well-designed barriers to suppress noise from sideline takeoff and reverse thrust. We request that you consult further with the town in developing this concept. 6. We find that your treatment of a nighttime jet curfew is specious. We have commissioned, at a cost of some $3,600 to the town, a consultant report that has demonstrated a 2/3 reduction of Logan's night flights is a viable option. Such a reduction would have a significant improvement on our noise problem. We like to sleep at night also. The issue of nighttime noise is so important that this committee takes a unanimous position of support for a full 8-hour jet curfew at Logan Airport. And we will submit our consultant report as part of our official testimony for this hearing. We expect the entire report to be an official part of the record. We will also submit a copy of the recent Supreme Court decision in the Burbank, California case, which clearly states that the Massachusetts Port Authority, as the proprietor of Logan Airport, has not been excluded by the courts from implementing its own curfew. The key section is underlined on page 12. We will submit a more detailed reply to your draft master plan in the near future that expounds these issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vitigliano. Edward J. Bandoni, 144 Shore Drive. Is Mr. Bandoni's here? Yes, he's coming.
My name's Ed Bandoni. I've been a resident of Winthrop since I was 13 years of age. And I was brought up under a flight path over in Belle Isle. And the reason I'm asking to speak is because I was scared then of what I thought might happen to me. And I'm scared now. I live between the flight paths now, and I hear a plane coming over that's not coming in the right direction. It comes over my area, and I just sit and wait to hear the explosion. I think I'm speaking for a lot of people in this town because not too many people care to get up and voice their opinion. But I speak to them many times throughout the course of my day, week, month. And a lot of them are scared too. They tell me to pass on to you people the fact that they do not want the airport expanded. They do not want more noise. They know the airport can't disappear. They know that we have to put up with you people. But please, they asked me to tell you, please do not expand any further than you have now. That's all I have to say.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Bembo. Mr. Benjamin Moore, Shirley Street in Winthrop. Mr. Moore.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I did not intend to come up here tonight. I came up here. This is the first time I have attended one of these meetings. But I became so incensed at the first two speakers, who were apparently patent apologists for the Port Authority, and what appeared to be the blatant failure of the Port Authority to outline the proximity of their new airport layout to Point Shirley and adjacent land areas. I think this was left out deliberately. At 2 o'clock in the morning, down on Point Shirley when a plane goes thundering through your bedroom, it becomes a little hard to sleep. I listened to this gentleman here explain that an extension of a runway towards Point Shirley would reduce the decibel level about 3 points, 3 decibels. This is like saying that the decibel level now is this, and they're going to reduce it this much. I have been employed for the past year in the setting up of OSHA requirements for a, I work for a large manufacturing company based in New England. I am a methods engineer for them, so I am quite familiar with decibel levels. This gentleman implies that the extension of this runway is going to reduce noise on Point Shirley. Either he's crazy or I am, because it won't reduce noise levels at all, it'll just increase them. Now, the government says under OSHA requirements that a safe decibel level is about 80, and this is not for any sustained period of time. Now, I don't know whether the Port Authority has ever measured the decibel level over Point Shirley at 200 feet when a four-engine jet goes over, but it must be up around 150. Now, I say that I think, after viewing what the Port Authority has done in the past and what they contemplate in the future, that their social conscience for the surrounding communities is about the same as a snake eyeing a rabbit he's about to eat. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Our next speaker is Mr. Gene Wasserman, 19 Ocean Avenue, Winthrop, please. Thank you. Want to use up here?
Members of the Port Authority, Father Celeste, ladies and gentlemen, I hadn't intended to come up here to speak at all tonight, but there are two genuine fears that I have, one as chairman of the advisory committee. I have a fear that there's going to be, if things go on the way they are, and the tremendous shortage of housing disappears, there's going to be a great, general, massive devaluation of all the property in the town of Winthrop because of the noise pollution and the air pollution. That's one genuine fear I have, and I think that the Port Authority ought to take that into consideration. The second fear that I have, and it's a genuine one and more important, I think much more important than anything else that was expressed here tonight, is a fear for the health of the people of Winthrop. We are a small community, little over a mile square, with over 20,000 people, and I don't know how many thousand automobiles, and we are sprayed incessantly overhead, in addition to the automobile pollution, with the air pollution, that this exhaust, these exhaust pollutions that are cast out by the planes going over our head. Now, the Airport Authority has some statistics to the effect that airport pollution is only 2% of the total pollution. Well, it probably is if they measure the airport pollution against the whole United States. But if you measured the air pollution in the airport and within a mile or two adjacent to the airport, and I asked the Environmental Protection Agency when they consider this expansion to check into the environmental rate the pollution that exists in the town of Winthrop as a result of the proximity of the airport. I think that's a genuine fear. It's a fear that the airport ought to give great consideration to, because they breathe the same air we do. It's a situation where you have a small community, probably the densest community in the United States in point of automobiles. I think more automobiles in the town of Winthrop in a similar square mile than anywhere else in America. And that pollution, plus the pollution from the planes, is a serious health hazard to the people of Winthrop, in my opinion. Now, our being awakened from a sound sleep, and I've been awakened at all hours of the morning, right next to the Shirley Street School, and our being subjected to incessant noise pollution, and are being hurt by the befouling of the very air we breathe, by unhealthy and dangerous air pollution, is an invasion of the privacy guaranteed each American citizen under Article 9 of the Constitution of this country. It's an invasion of privacy on par with the worst in the Watergate scandal. Now, unless the airport pays attention to these two factors, and they should, the Mass Port Authority will not go down in history as the builder of the eighth biggest airport, but it'll go down in history as the biggest polluter that this nation ever saw.
Thank you, Mr. Wasserman. We have received one request from a lady, which we certainly will honor, that she be notified of a meeting with the FAA officials. Anyone else? We'll make a general notice, hopefully. I think we should do that. But anyone else in particular, in addition to a general notice, we would certainly like to specifically invite them. Another lady has asked this question. Mr. Thomas P. Callahan will answer it. The question is, why do you allow planes to periodically take a shortcut over the Highland area of Winthrop instead of coming in over the water as they are supposed to? That is the question. Mr. Callahan has the answer.
I presume that the person asking the question is talking about landings on runway 27 coming in that direction. Am I correct? Here?
Yes.
Oh. Well, I think that there are two possible answers, neither of which are going to make people particularly happy. I am the coordinator of the Logan Airport Noise Abatement Committee, and I disagree with my good friend, Mr. Dimes, that we're transferring noise, but that's only incidental. He's entitled to his opinion. We are attempting to do our best as an airport community to lower noise levels. But as I said to one of the recent complainants, so long as we are running diesel locomotives over people's homes, we're not going to make them happy. Now, to this question, I think that the problem really comes from this particular runway because we've investigated certain complaints. Let me describe what occasionally happens on takeoffs from runway 9 in the direction of Point Shirley. According to the noise abatement measures, which are subscribed to by the Federal Aviation Air Controllers that are part of the Logan Airport Noise Abatement Committee, planes taking off from runway 9 are directed to go out 3 miles before they make a turn to the left. Most of the planes do make a turn to the left. Some of the planes occasionally don't go out the 3 miles, and they cut in after failing to reach the limit, and they cut in over the highlands. The other possible answer to the question is that in landing on 22 left, planes on the downwind leg coming along the ocean may on occasion be directed by the air controllers to fit into a separation between two aircraft that are approaching the runway. Let us say one aircraft is close to the runway and the other aircraft may be 5 or 6 miles out. On occasion, the air controller says to the effect that if you feel you can get into that slot and land, then go ahead. Actually, I can't see how a plane could come over the Highlands area. The plane would have to come from a point more northerly and swing in over Beachmont to make that approach. But I merely mention it because apparently people feel as though this is the cause of the problem. Furthermore, I'd like to mention two things. The FAA air controllers are responsible for the supervision of aircraft in flight, not the Massachusetts Port Authority. The Massachusetts Port Authority sponsors the Logan Airport Noise Abatement Committee, and as Dick Dimes and others can tell you, try to get everyone to cooperate, to exercise their own responsibilities. We can't assume responsibilities that are delegated by Congress to the FAA or any other responsibilities that are statutorily delegated to other parties. The second thing is that we are about to establish an automatic noise monitoring system, and we will have microphones in an area north of runway 22L that will enable us to pinpoint any aircraft that does fly over the Point Shirley area in either of the two situations that I mentioned. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. We have one late arrival, Ann Springer, a town meeting member who wishes to speak. Mrs. Springer. Coming up, can you get a...
Thank you, Mr. King. I'd like to again thank Father Celeste for coming here this evening, and I would like to thank all of the other speakers who have taken their time to voice their opinions. It seems that throughout the entire meeting, Mr. King and other members of the committee have been shuffling through cards, penciling in comments, everything but paying their strict, undivided attention to the concerned, responsible citizens who have come here this evening to voice their opinions. It appears that we are following an all too familiar pattern. The people of Winthrop are already only too aware of the problems associated with Logan Airport. What we want is for the Massachusetts Port Authority to listen and act in the interests of safer air travel, less pollution, and less noise. Not to ignore us in the interest of commercial factions. Our children should be given back their birthright, which is clean air, freedom from noise, and simply the enjoyment of an unpolluted oceanfront. We oppose any further expansion or encroachment of this facility. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ann Springer. Several or at least two have mentioned the fact that we are looking at cards, and we are, They're the way, a manner in which we keep track of things. Also, I make notes, it's my own choice, on the back of these cards so that the things that we say we do can be instantly referred to. It is true, of course, that there's a stenotypist there, and there's also a recording, I believe. Yes, there is down here. Pardon? Well, I would if I could finish, I would say this, that while we do have these individual aides, it does take a considerable amount of time before they're available. Some of these things we'll be doing tomorrow and the next day. And I don't think the fact that I write because we attend a lot of meetings during our days means anyway that we're not paying attention. I can assure you of that. If we were not paying attention, any one of us, not myself only, but any one of us, that would be something less than satisfactory as far as I was concerned. So please do not be offended by that. It's only trying to get more done quickly, but we are paying attention. Now, Mr. Milton Lamb, does he want to speak? I'm not sure by the way this card is made out. He's perfectly welcome. Come right up then, please. And will you ask your own, or I'll read your question when you get through and then answer it. Is that agreeable? All right, then will you speak? Okay. Mr. Lamb has made this statement. There are many land spaces such as Hanscom Field and part of South Weymouth Naval Air Station, which the federal government has vacated. Why can't we use this land for an airport? Is this expansion going to stop here since the Boeing and Douglas are building planes like the 747, DC-10, and L-1011? Well, we're aware of the discussions about Hanscom Field and Weymouth. We're more familiar with Hanscom Field as we have been the lessee and operator of the civilian portion of that. In our second airport study, which the authority conducted perhaps 4 or 5 years ago, both of these sites were naturally considered being existing airfields. They're not considered suitable in our judgments for a commercial airport such as Logan, nor could it be used really as a reliever for Logan in a true sense because the duplicity of operation is something that doesn't accomplish very much. And as far as airspace-wise, as far as market-wise, the people who would be served by an airport in either Hanscom or Weymouth, you're serving the, basically speaking, the same people. And airspace-wise, there are complications with each airport. In other words, a fully developed, fully utilized Logan would have aerial airspace conflicts with Logan and or with Weymouth in either case. Now, the other question was, is this expansion going to stop here or because of the new type planes? Well, I think that as far as the extension of 4 and 9 are concerned and the construction of the stall, certainly the larger planes are not affected with the stall runway except that their operation is improved because it will give an opportunity with a wind in that direction to separate the smaller aircraft from the larger ones. Now, there will be no further extension of 4 or 9, I would believe, because of existing physical or geographical limitations. I don't think the fact that these aircraft, which I believe you may be inferring, can land or take off on 7 or 8,000 feet of runway or maybe less on occasion, is a reason to assume that given the opportunity, we would not extend the runway as we are trying to do up to a reasonable natural limit. Now, if we did not have an inner channel or any other restrictions, we would extend runway 9 back further and runway 4L back further. But since there's a natural limitation there, that's as far as we go. It really is a safety and an environmental enhancement. Okay? Floor is yours.
No, live up in the Highlands like everybody else. Well, not like everybody else, but I'm a resident of Winthrop. I've been a resident for 28 years. I've seen this airport expanding and keep expanding. I'm presently employed with General Electric. I've worked in their aerospace instrument division. I've actually had tours of these three planes, and I've seen them in operation. Now, as he says, they're not going to expand anymore. There's an article in the Times this Sunday on development of a 7X7 by Boeing. And this plane is going to be developed by Boeing. Now, where are they going to put all these planes? I mean, they're going to have to expand more runways. I don't see where it's going to stop. I mean, these companies, they're large plane companies. And the airlines want to make money, so they're going to have more planes. So that means they're going to need more runways. It's all going to be one big vicious circle. I think we ought to stop right now.
We have a question which has been submitted, which Mr. Callahan will answer. And I would like to make it clear again, although the record is here, that when I said that we would not try to expand anymore, that we were certainly speaking about the 4L and the 9, not ever at any time, any place else. Well, don't forget that I said it sometime. The question is, why do they rev up these planes at night? That is the question. Mr. Callahan will try and provide an answer.
Revving up planes is a diffuse term that many people use in regard to the various types of noise from an airport, particularly at night. Actually, Logan Airport, as far as we know, is the first airport in the country to forbid the maintenance running up of planes at night. And this is strictly enforced by another first that Logan has, and that is a night noise patrol. We have a noise patrol which moves around the airport, particularly the airfield, from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. and makes a report to me, reports any violation of the noise abatement regulations that we have. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't nighttime noise. It comes from landings, takeoffs, taxiing, and reverse thrust. We are doing our best to hold down the reverse thrust. We are doing our best to limit the noise of taxiing. We do have restrictions which the air controllers are following. That is to land planes over the water and take off over the water as much as possible between midnight and 6 a.m. We also have the cooperation of the airlines in not having training flights at this station, this airport, which is a common thing to have during the nighttime hours because that's the time when aircraft are available for training, so that revving up does not occur in the under the term as we know it. Revving up did occur with piston propeller aircraft, but with jet aircraft, they don't have to increase the revolutions of the engine before takeoff. I think that is the normal description of that particular term. So that, yes, there is nighttime noise, but we are preventing running up of aircraft for maintenance purposes, and we are doing the other things that I've mentioned.
Well, thank you, Tom. 10 o'clock has come and gone. We do not have any questions here. Has anyone submitted one? Fine. Excuse me.
Right. Well, one thing that we do is to check out a complaint like this, and we realize that there are various types of noise that might be responsible for what you describe. We'd be glad to send our night noise patrol over there so that he can determine just what he thinks it is by listening to the noise and going back to the airport and seeing just what might be causing that particular noise. There are auxiliary power units running at the airport on stationary aircraft. This is for air conditioning and lights and so forth. We take readings around the airport every hour to determine whether this type of noise or any other type of noise has gone above the normal level. But we'd be glad to send the night noise patrol over to talk to you and see if we can determine what the noise is and how it might be alleviated. Shirley. Shirley. The number is Logan 73333 in case people don't know it. Well, I think he meant heating of the aircraft. In the summer, it's air conditioning. Well, I mean, I don't want to try to ask for a precise description because I think we'd just get into a confusion of terms. But we'll be glad to send the night noise patrol. He's a very conscientious fellow, and we'll do our darndest to find out what the noise is and, if possible, to lower the noise level. A question here directed to me. Statement was made by Mr. Callahan that pilot at times will not fly the required 3 miles over the ocean before taking left turn. Don't you consider this a dangerous situation? Why don't you people move into Winthrop with your families for a week? Answering the first question, the noise abatement regulation is not actually designed for safety. It's designed for noise abatement. To be specific, the requirement that a pilot fly 3 miles on the extended on the runway heading off runway 9 is designed to have the pilot turn inside Nahant and over the Revere Saugus Marsh area. If a pilot turns before he reaches the 3 miles, that is a violation of the noise abatement measure. It's something which has to really be cited by the air controllers, although we have made reports to the air controllers of pilots who have turned less than 3 miles on the runway heading. It is not designed as a safety measure. We're not making any excuse for a pilot. I do think that when we have the microphones, we will be able to have actual data that a pilot has turned inside the 3 miles, and we'll be able to take, or the FAA will be able to take action. I'd be delighted to spend a week in Winthrop because I really know what the noise is, and we're doing a great many things to try to stop it. But as we told a expert in a lot of things from the city of Boston, merely because the Logan Airport Noise Abatement Committee can't solve the problem doesn't mean that it is not doing its best in its own area. The federal government has great responsibilities in noise abatement, especially in the certification of aircraft and action on the soundproofing and the refanning of aircraft, which are two very important measures to lower the noise at the source, at the aircraft engine. But we're doing our best at the Logan Airport Noise Abatement Committee, but we can't solve the problem until the problem is solved at the source, the aircraft engine.
Mr. Burns, at one step, if it's agreeable to you, we will have our noise abatement man in the evening call you and make an arrangement to come over. I think that'll be more direct. Or he just left. Well, we'll do it anyway. Now, one more question that we received is this. No name on this. What is the decibel reading at Point Shirley? Our answer is the average is 102 without the runway extension, 99 with, and that's set out on page 109 and 111 in between those pages of the environmental impact statement. A second question on the same sheet is, what is the normal reading that will not affect hearing? Well, that's something that I don't know. It certainly is disputed, and I think that a source other than us, we don't know that the aircraft noise, high as they are at spots, and regrettable as that is for all of us, is any cause of a loss of hearing. Now, do we have anyone else here who wishes to speak?
It affected my ears. I live on 444 Pleasant Street, and you would like to come to my home and stay in my home for a couple of nights.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll find out what happens to your ears from
it. Anybody else? Thank you.
Does it become noisy as an engine ages?
I don't know that. Does anyone here feel as though they can answer that? I tell you, we'll...
A certain level of mileage on an engine, a motor, an automobile engine gets noisier. Does an airplane engine become noisy?
I just said that I don't know, but I'm perfectly willing, if you give me a name, to find out for you from some source like the engine manufacturer. I don't think that the first section, at least, that's the first one that goes, is an older plane. I think it's a 727. But it may well be that the backup section is an older plane. I know that they do use Electras, right, on occasion. On occasion. Mr. Moon. Would you care? If you know. If you don't, we'll find out and give them an answer.
Well, actually...
I wish I
did. Well, They started out with they were using the Electras, then they moved to the DC-9, and they're using more 727s, using the 9 to some extent as a backup, but the very backup is an Electra. And I don't know about the level of noise. It depends upon if you don't like the compressor whine, yeah, it's a noisier airplane, but the lower tones, it's not as noisy. So it depends upon whether you're aggravated more by high tones or low tones.
But if you would like us to pursue that and you let us have your name and address, we'll be glad to do that. Now, does anyone else? Pardon?
How many airlines?
Well, I believe just Eastern. Others fly to New York, but the shuttle, we will take you as long as you're there at the designated hour, only Eastern. All right. Anyone else have... That's a question? Fine. Well, I think that regardless of how one may feel, that everything you say is weighed. But for you or anyone else, simply to say that I'm against it or we're all dead set against it, that's one statement, and that's probably true. But shouldn't the real question be, what are your reasons and how valid are they? Wouldn't it be... Well, I might give that a try sometime. Do you think that... Oh, don't spoil his evening. May I answer it this way, that wouldn't it be truly a shame? You must understand that I don't like noise, or Mr. Mooney, or any of the younger or older people here. We all understand that. And the quicker the problem is combated and licked at the source with the aircraft engine, certainly the easier everyone associated with an airport authority will be. For instance, tonight some one person may have said something nice about Massport. We didn't come here for that, but that could happen if there wasn't any noise. But nevertheless, the facts are that we really think, and we're getting to the essence of why we're here and why we propose the runway extensions, is we really and truly believe, and I think if you look, if that's the right plan, I hope it is, that extending, say, runway 9, because we're in Winthrop, back toward the main channel, that's in the direction of Pier 4, Commonwealth Pier, Fish Pier, areas generally that are on Northern Avenue and Atlantic Avenue, that if you don't believe that those planes will be higher and therefore less noise over Point Shirley on departure, I have to say that we disagree. Now then, there's the argument that having extended that runway 18 or 1,900 feet, that will mean that more aircraft who otherwise would not be on that runway will be there. Well, I think that our environmental impact says that that really isn't so, that if it is, it's very slight. Does that mean that there won't be more aircraft there, just more aircraft there in 1980 or than there are now? No, it doesn't. It means that there won't be more aircraft there than there would be anyway. And I think that that's something you'll have to consider. Take also the added length for safety. That's something you should be interested in. Something that when you say we're all dead set against it, fine. Why? Because we are for it, because we really think that it will be less noise and less pollution. We think that it will be a safety enhancement. And at the same time doing that, we are also advancing the economy, which is something to be considered. We're not building that or recommending it be built just to put people to work. But as we enhance the safety, which certainly is a major consideration, I think that's number one, and as we enhance the environment at the same time, when we can include an economic plus, I certainly think that you have to come up with answers or reasons that supersede those. Everyone should try and understand our position. We certainly understand yours.
We have a problem, and the airport at this point has given us nothing but promises, and they have done very little for the surrounding town.
Well, that's what you're saying, and I say this, that... We've had a reasonably orderly hearing. I didn't interrupt you. If you want to speak, I'll wait, but I would like to be able to finish because we are getting near the end of the evening. There isn't anything that I know of, or I'm sure anything you can suggest. If you can, I suggest you do so that we'll all have the benefit of it, that Massachusetts Port Authority or any pilot or the FAA, I'm not going to say the FAA is at fault because they're not here. They're in control of some things. We're in control of others. Or anyone that could be done to reduce noise or pollution at Logan or any other airport in the world that isn't being done. Why would there be a reluctance if it was doable? Someone mentioned here earlier, and I have it marked on my cards, about the pollution. There was an agreement a couple of years ago signed with the United States Attorney General and the airlines giving time. I believe it's 1974, March of 74. I think you won't see those smoky planes here then, the ones, and they are there. There isn't any question about it. But that's something that I think you can observe gradually being controlled. There are less and less and less of that visible pollutant coming out. I think you're going to see improvements in noise, but unfortunately, yet very realistically, it is going to take time. I could say anything I want, that we're going to put in Part 36 and all of these other things, but nothing really is going to happen that quickly. It's coming, it has been coming, and it will continue to come. So understand what we're trying to do. We believe in what we're doing. The best that you folks really can do, or anyone can do, and I think it should be this way. I think you'll agree with that. I'm delighted to see you nodding. What are your reasons? To the extent they're valid, we don't want to do anything wrong. We really don't. We don't want to spend money because we don't have any state subsidy or others. We spend our own money. We don't want to do anything against the environment. No, we don't have that either, but that's all right. We don't want to do anything that doesn't enhance safety. So try and understand that. Now, anyone else that has any questions or comments, why don't you come right up here and we'll talk about them informally because we'll consider our meeting closed. All right? Go. All right. Yes, sir.
I live right in the corner of Grandview and Undine. And all I have to say is thank God that plane didn't come in on runway 9. If it ever hit that hill and if it ever caught the fire, the whole point would have gone. And that's just what's going to happen someday. Mark my words. If you put extend that runway 9.
Thank you. Yeah. Good. Anyone else has a question or comment, we'd be delighted to talk to them up here. Please.